This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may now disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tegan. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Drafting Team call on the 24th of June 2013. On the call today, we have Xiaolong Donghao, Holly Rice, Mikey O'Connor, Jordan Buchanan, Greg Satin, Eduardo Diaz, Jill Titzer, and Christina Rosette. We have apologies from Alan Greenberg, Wolf Overschnogan, and Chuck Gomes. From staff, we have Mirka Koenigs, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Matthew Perrigan. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Holly.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. Could I first ask if anyone has any changes to their statement of interest that they would like to speak now? And if not, let's proceed with the call. I would like to start, as I suggested in my email, by having to the first area of discussion which we should be signing off on today, if we're going to meet our schedule, is to finalize the mission, purpose, and deliver the mission and scope. And what is on your screen, which I'm happy to read out, would be the latest version, which, thank you, Marika, has done. It begins with key assumptions. There were originally two that were suggested by Chuck and Jordan. There are four. And we have got four tasks. Now, is there anyone who does not have the screen in front of them?
All good.
Okay. All right. Can I just read them out for everyone? And if we can decide at this meeting that this is our mission and scope, and then we can spend today on the recommended working group tasks, which is the next section that we have to deal with. So the key assumptions for today, charter are, first, the processes are fairly well defined as far as policy development is concerned, understanding that there is plenty of room for improvement. The second key assumption is some implementation processes are less well defined and hence will likely need to be a larger focus of the working group. Third, the exact relationship between policy and implementation may not be understood, but there is a need to establish a framework that takes the relationship between the two into account. And fourth, all processes, policy, implementation, and the framework for interaction between the two need to be multi-stakeholder. And the actual set of, well, what we're saying is the Policy and Implementation Working Group, which is to be formed, is tasked to provide the GNSO Council with a set of recommendations on, and there are four elements. And thank you, Marika, for taking everyone's comments into account. Number one, in light of existing GNSO operating procedures, a set of principles that would underpin any GSO policy and implementation-related discussions. Two, recommendations on a process for providing GNSO and, in quotes, policy guidance, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such a process instead of a GNSO policy development process. Three, a framework for implementation-related discussions related to GNSO policy recommendations, including criteria for when something is to be considered policy and when it should be considered implementation. And four, further guidance on how GNSO implementation review teams are expected to function and operate. And I'm going to do a speak now or forever hold your peace. I've got 1 minute. People can put their hands up or aha. Jordan, please go ahead, followed by Christina. Jordan's got his hand up. Hmm.
Natalie, is the audio bridge connected? Can you double check? Because we're not hearing Jordan. And I think he's only on the AC audio.
Exactly. Jordan's not on the audio bridge. Jordan, if you wish, we can dial out to you. If you want to communicate your number by private chat, we'll have to dial out to you.
All right. Jordan's going to dial into the audio bridge. In the meantime, Christina, you're next.
Sure. I have two points in terms of under the key assumptions. And just picking up on a point that Greg had made earlier, I think part of the reason the ICANN community sometimes has difficulty moving forward is that we're perhaps not as precise as we should be in the language that we're using. So that brings me to my first question, and that is with regard to the third bullet, the exact relationship between policy and implementation may not be understood. And I don't think that's necessarily completely accurate, but I'm also not exactly quite sure what we're trying to say. Are we trying to say that the delineation is not understood, or that how those terms have been used has not been defined? But I think as it is, I find it to be confusing. So that would be the first point. And then with regard to the all processes, policy implementation, the framework for interaction between the two needs to be multi-stakeholder. I absolutely agree with that, and I think Alan made a really good point. What I have been struggling with all day is trying to come up with suggested language that would kind of refine, at least with regard to implementation, how that would actually work in terms of what we mean. Because my concern is that I think we're all familiar with the criticisms about the PDP process and it takes forever. And depending upon the extent to which implementation is kind of full-on multi-stakeholder, I'm very concerned you could end up in a situation where you have the implementation taking as long or longer than the PDP in the first instance. So that would be kind of my concern about that. I have some suggestions about the tasks or the recommendations, but I figured I'd start with the key assumptions. And I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Christina. And I'm going to do the right thing and raise my hand. Until we get Jordan. Have we got Jordan yet?
Yeah,
no.
Okay. I'm on the bridge now.
Go ahead.
Thanks. So I think I just briefly want to address that last point that Christina just made. I think we could just probably, once again, I'm weary of hashing through the details of what the working group outcome should be at this point, but I think we could probably just use like a word like appropriate with regards to the multi-stakeholder process to make sure that that the working group is considering the role of the multi-stakeholder process in implementation as well, without necessarily dictating how much it is. And I think that's very much up to the working group. I think my second comment, unfortunately, is going to go almost exactly in the opposite direction of Christina, so we may have a little bit of work to do on this. But I actually think I'm troubled, and I think I've expressed this a few times on the list. I think that this distinction between policy and implementation is likely to prove almost completely intractable. I doubt we will get to a point that a working group agrees what the delineation point is between these two things. And I think anything that we do that requires that the working group does so in order to make progress on a bunch of other places in which I think there's incredibly good work that they can do is problematic. So to that point, and I apologize for not raising this on the list, but I think in the third point of the things that the working group is tasked to do, the additional language that Marie has added about including criteria for when something is to be considered policy and when it should be considered implementation, I think including that as a sort of bottom line objective for the working group sets it up for failure. I think it is totally reasonable, and I agree that it is reasonable for the working group to talk about this, to see whether or not they can accomplish creating a delineation. But I think, you know, sort of predicating the success of the working group on whether or not they achieve this, I think really would diminish the impact of a lot of other really, really useful work that the working group is capable of doing it. So I'll make one other final point, which is I think when Chuck and I were drawing up the key assumptions, those were intended to frame our discussion about what the mission and scope should be, as opposed to necessarily actually ending up in the mission and scope. I think probably if we just include the stuff starting with what the working group is tasked to do and maybe document the key assumptions somewhere else, good enough for a mission and scope, although I don't feel particularly strongly one way or the other about those points.
Jordan, may I ask you to comment on Christina's comment in the chat? Can we say the exact delineation?
It substitutes those words. Would that be better for what you're saying?
I can't tell whether Christina and I are, I think, saying almost opposite things, and I'm saying about the key assumptions that, well, I'm saying first, I'm not sure we need the key assumptions at all, which would probably address Christina's point if we just drop that point. But I'm troubled by the inclusion of the delineation between policy implementation in the third bullet of the actual tasks. So I think right now, unfortunately, Christina and I are talking about slightly different chunks of the text.
Okay. All right.
Even though they're related.
Why don't we leave it there? Greg, you're next, and maybe Greg, and we can all think for a moment about what Jordan has just suggested, which is, do we need any or all of the key assumptions there? But Greg, you're next, so go ahead.
Okay.
And
thank you,
Marika's in the queue after Greg, okay?
Thank you, it's Greg. I have no comment on whether the key assumption should be dropped totally, just haven't thought about it yet. I do think, maybe we're going back and forth on this, that it is important to at least have in front of the working group the delineation or definition of policy and implementation. I don't think that the group needs to fail. If it fails to define policy and implementation, it may, but I think that if the group can define policy and implementation in a way that, you know, can reach consensus, that might set the work of the group in one direction in terms of how issues around policy and implementation are resolved. And if it seems intractable, then I think it sets the working group off in a different direction, and, you know, does not base certain outcomes on whether something is defined as policy or implementation. But I think there's still, you know, a sense behind why certain things are dealt with in certain ways, and a lot of that has been so far based on whether something is policy or implementation. Then it may be that those senses of, you know, how much room there is to run versus, you know, what the participation is of stakeholders and GNSO Council and the like, and implementation review teams and the like, will be. But I guess, you know, the bottom line is I don't think there should be any sense, and frankly, I don't think there is a sense that if the group fails to define policy and implementation, that it just has to blow up the working group and go home. But I think that it should at least be an important part of the working group's efforts to see if there is a common ground upon which policy and implementation can be defined. Thank you.
Greg, could I ask on going down to the tasks, one of the tasks, number two, recommendations on a process for providing GNSO policy guidance, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such a process instead of the GNSO policy development, and then number three, a framework for implementation-related discussions. Do those two together address your point?
Yes and no. I mean, I think as long as we're using the words policy and implementation, it's problematic if different people use them to mean different things in the same conversation or in the same process.
Right.
So, or I should say process. So,
do whatever.
Yeah, I've got a Canadian passport somewhere in my drawer. In any case, it's something that I think that is still something that's before us. And I think it's overly fatalistic to think that that we can't define policy and implementation, or at least learn something instructive about what people are trying to do with those definitions. One of the problems I think that exists is that those definitions are used, as tools rather than for real, or those words are used as tools to achieve certain outcomes rather than they're actually meaning anything in and of themselves. So I think that as long as you're using them, unless we stop using the words entirely, I think it's certainly everything works better if they mean the same thing to everybody.
Look, thank you, Greg. Marika, you've had your hand up for a while.
Yeah, this is Marika. Thanks, Holly. Just in relation to the third bullet point on the key assumptions, I think that's actually wording that came from Avery on our last call. But I do believe that went to the point, and I think Christina's clarification probably goes to that point, that it was more about saying we probably won't be able to draw a big line in the sand between what is policy and implementation. And I think that's what she was trying to convey there. So hopefully the wording that Christina suggested would be acceptable to Avery as well, as she's not on the call today. And in relation to the defining policy and implementation, and I think I'm more in Jordan's camp there, and it's a personal observation, because I think if you currently look at the PDP process and the bylaws, it's basically clear. Once the board adopts it, then it moves into implementation. I think where we're currently struggling is what elements as part of implementation discussion could be considered policy, and what kind of procedures or what kind of framework needs to be in place to recognize those and address those in an appropriate way. So I think as well, partly by defining that framework, I think that will automatically provide the answers into what ends up being policy-related discussions that will need to go through a separate process or framework, and what are those purely implementation-related discussions that can just move forward with whatever guidance is provided. So I think as well, really trying to make that a key task of defining it may be problematic and may distract indeed the working group from what is actually a task, but having it in there as one of the guiding questions or one of the elements they may pay attention to, that may indeed be helpful, as it will undoubtedly come up as part of the conversation.
Okay. Look, thank you, Marika. We've got Mikey's been hanging on for a while, and Jordan's just put his hand up. Greg, your hand is up. Did you still want to? Is that an old hand, or do you want to be in the queue? Okay, second. Mikey, go ahead.
This is Mikey. I'm going to let Jordan go first because I'm enjoying and thinking this is a positive conversation, and I sort of want to just wrap it up.
Okay, Jordan, you're next.
Yeah, so I just want to call out one thing that Marika just said, which makes me nervous, which is that I think there is a tendency to talk about implementation as distinct from policy, as implementation is the stuff that we don't need to worry about, that we can just go off and do. And there are definitely types of implementation where that is true, but I think that's the rat hole that we end up falling down is, and I think that's precisely where so much of the community becomes uncomfortable about trying to draw this line between policy and implementation, because if implementation means that once it's on that side of the line, then some, doesn't matter who it is, staff, board, someone, not the community, just goes and does it without any consultation or feedback or the multi-stakeholder process. I think that's when people get sort of extremely concerned about getting that delineation exactly correct. I think it's probably more appropriate to say that there's a set of types, there's a bunch of things that are forms of implementation that are sort of purely procedural, that don't require as much community feedback. And I think figuring out, while we're talking about implementation, figuring out, you know, even being able to classify, you know, types of changes that don't necessarily require as much community input, I think that's probably useful. But I don't think that line is along the policy versus implementation line. It's, you know, there are implementation changes that could still have significant effect on, you know, for example, on contracts, which is where I can, you know, essentially draws most of its authority from. And I think, you know, we should focus much more on making sure we understand those dividing lines of where community involvement is appropriate, as opposed to necessarily, this is why I don't think it's that productive to talk about the words, because the words actually don't form the basis of distinction in terms of what the process should actually look like.
Could I ask a question there, Jordan? Looking at the key assumptions, if you start with number 4, which is all processes, policy, implementation, and framework need to be multi-stakeholder, does that pick up some of what you're saying? And then the third point, the exact relationship, and then we've got some comments in the chat about whether we replace relationship with delineation or whatever, between policy and implementation may not be understood, but this need to establish a framework. Does that start to address your concerns? Simply saying we need to understand both, and all of the processes may at some point or other have to be multi-stakeholder.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is that what you're saying?
I mean, I don't think we're that far. I mean, my principal concern right now, just looking at this text, is that in number 3 of the tasks, it sounds like that the framework for implementation is dependent on understanding what the difference between policy and implementation is.
Okay.
And I don't think that's the case. I think we can create a really solid implementation framework, and as Alan just said on the chat, right, like, this is really a question of timing, right? And this has been pointed out on the list today. The GNSO, when they're formulating policy, can do a bunch of stuff that probably looks like implementation. And, you know, we need to understand how things lead from one phase of the process to another, a phase that's sort of driven primarily by the council, that, you know, you might think of as being, that's the policy side, and then maybe a phase that's driven primarily by staff but with significant community involvement that we might call implementation. It doesn't really matter what you call any of those phases. It matters that we understand the rules of engagement and the expected outputs for each of those processes much more than, you know, what we're calling each phase. If the GNSO elects to make less specificity and put relatively more of the decision-making process in the sort of staff-driven phase, you know, that's their prerogative, but it doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't mean that the community doesn't care about the results once that it's been pushed into the staff-driven process.
Okay, could I ask you to have a little think about how you might reword the additional text in number 3, but in the meantime, Mikey's had his hand up for a long time, and then Alan, who's an apology, has nevertheless got his hand up as well. Mikey.
You got to watch me slip myself to the back of the queue. Let Alan go first.
You just put your hand up so you can actually say, I want to listen to everyone else. I know. Alan, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't planning to be on the call. I thought I'd be driving, but there was less traffic, and we found a way through the U.S.-Canadian border that didn't take 2 hours, so I'm here. But I didn't read all the documents, and I didn't hear the first 20 minutes of the discussion, so I have put that disclaimer in. I think one of the real problems that we have, and I'm not quite sure how we resolve it, is that we have called implementation everything that follows the GNSO policy process. And that's really a problem because in many cases, and the new GTLD program is the best example, there have been many, many things which really affect the community substantively, and we called it implementation. So either we need to define policy and implementation carefully and then have policy have two phases, that which is done formally by the GNSO and that which is done post-GNSO board decision, or we have to do something because the terms are confusing. We are using the term implementation to include both real implementation, that is the mechanics of putting something in place, and all the preparatory stages, many of which do involve effective policy. And if we could clean up the terminology, the rest of the discussion maybe might be a little bit easier. But we're stuck with what we're using right now, and I think we have to remember that as we go forward. That was all I was trying to say right now. I will listen to the transcript or to the MP3 and see what people actually said before.
Alan, a question. Where we're up to is I'm trying to get the sign off on at least the mission in scope today so we can work on the deliverables and the actual tasks next. In the key assumptions, it's got all processes, policy, implementation, and the framework for interaction between the two need to be multi-stakeholder. Now, if you've got something like that woven in that says, quite apart from the delineation, if we assume things are multi-stakeholder, does that make it perhaps less important to delineate between the two? Can we go down that? Is that where you're headed? And then I'm going to ask Maki to raise his hand.
Yeah. What I was trying to say is, if we had a clean delineation, that is implementation or some new word we come up with, it's just purely the mechanics of putting something in place.
Yeah.
You know, then we've established when is there heavy community involvement and when is there minor community involvement, just to act as a check and balance and you know, to make sure no one does anything, you know, dumb. If we're not going to put a delineation between two words, whatever they are, at that point, then we're going to have to be really, really clear on the kind of things that Jordan was talking about. That is, yes, there are things in implementation that are still making decisions, and therefore we're not calling them policy because of history, but we have to treat them as policy. Perhaps not with a formal PDP, but nevertheless with a process. And that's something we did in the new GTLD process. We spent 4 years with the community, with give and take, with involving the community. So it's not as if it's a foreign concept to us.
Mike, your hand is still up.
One more thing. Yeah. But we have to not hide behind the word implementation, as has been done in recent months, and say if we are calling it what ICANN traditionally calls implementation, then it's not multi-stakeholder. That's the dangerous part.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Mike? Mikey, do you just want to have your hand up, or do you want to talk?
No, I was... My opinion is still shifting. Here's where I'm at. I think that we're all actually agreeing with each other in a way.
Yes.
We all are saying, look... These distinctions of process need to be clearer. We need to know more clearly who does what in which phase of the work. And I think that the trouble is that we're conflating policy to mean two things. Sometimes we're talking about the policy phase of the work. Sometimes we're actually talking about the written words on the page. And same goes for implementation. I think it's perfectly okay for an implementation phase to have some checks and balances in there to tease out those things that might need to be fed back into another round of policy work. And I think we're all kind of agreeing that the distinctions that need to be made are important. And so I'm pretty comfortable that the working group's actually going to be able to get through this okay. I'm not terribly concerned about the wording in a charter because I know that the working group itself is probably going to puzzle through this on its own anyway. And so if we've got some changes that we all go, yeah, that's better, let's do those. But I don't know that we need to beat this one to death.
Okay, let me ask you a question and then ask for comments. Given that we've got text in front of us, including key assumptions and a revised set of recommendations for the working group, is there anything in the wording that's going to send the working group off in the wrong direction, or is what's there sufficient to guide them in what's going to be a difficult task? And I think we all agree it's going to be a difficult task. And maybe, Mikey, after that, I'm going to get back to Jordan and say, do we need to do something about the wording in number 3, the set of recommendations, and is that a barrier to the sort of discussion that we've all been having, and I think we're all in the right direction? So, Mikey, you're first, and then Jordan's got his hand up.
This is Mikey. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I didn't realize
okay.
I was on the spot.
Well, no, the question I've got for you, Mikey, is there anything in the wording for the either the key assumptions or the tasks, the recommendations 1 to 4 that have got different, the revised wording that Marika's put in, is there anything in either of those two, that's the first section, which is the mission and scope, is there anything in that wording that's actually going to stop us, the drafting team, but stop the working group from going in the direction of that I think all of us are headed?
No, I think we're good enough.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Are we good enough?
I think I would be more. I think we should just split the third task or the third recommendation that we're trying to do in two. So I would say a framework for implementation-related discussions, implementation-related discussions, GNSO policy recommendations, and then have a separate something somewhere that says, and it could be here, it could be elsewhere, saying that we would like the working group to consider whether it's possible to create criteria for when something is policy versus when something is implementation, as opposed to saying that. Right now it reads to me like you can't do the first half of number 3 unless you also do the second half. And if you can't, I mean, that implies to me if the second half is impossible, you just can't do it. So I just think if we split them up, then I'm a lot happier. But I also think we shouldn't make it a hard and fast requirement of the charter to actually get a policy versus implementation outcome. I guess it could be a charter, and then the working group can just say at some point it's impossible to do this part. But it would be nice if there was some way to indicate that, you know, we'd like you to consider it, but it's, you know, you can finish your work if you fail to get to that point.
Okay, Marika, your hand is up.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just want to make sure as well that the changes we discussed earlier, which I think is a small change to the third bullet point on the key assumptions, to change the exact relationship to the exact delineation. And I think the other point is on the fourth point, the all processes to all appropriate processes, that I think those were acceptable to all as well. I just want to make sure of that as I prepare a next version of this document.
So where was the word appropriate? It was
the word appropriate, I think, was suggested by Jordan in the fourth bullet on the key assumptions, to make sure that it captures basically that in certain cases, you may not need to have a multi-stakeholder discussion on implementation if it's, you know, perfectly clear what needs to happen. So I think the idea was to include all appropriate processes to make clear that, you know, it would apply to those processes that need multi-stakeholder input. I think Christina's saying vote. Need to be appropriately, is it an appropriately multi-stakeholder? Is that the wording that we're looking at? Okay, appropriately multi-stakeholder. Sorry for getting that wrong. And I think then the other one was on the exact relationship, and just a clarification there that I think was suggested by Christina, that would say the exact delineation between policy and implementation may not be understood. I think those were the two wordings that people suggested as well.
Now, Ellen, you have your hand up. Do you want to say what you've said in the chat, or do you want to add to what
to the discussion?
No, what I said in the chat was in response to something Christina said.
Okay.
And no, I don't feel the need. I'm going to make a statement which I suspect may not go over well with some people. This is an area, this whole discussion we're having, is an area where, certainly in my case, my understanding of it is evolving, and it's changing quickly. We're talking weeks, not years. And I would make a case that we should not agonize too much over the charter and you know, especially the first parts of it, because I think this may well be a situation where, as we understand the world better, we may find out that the charter wasn't perfect. And I don't think we want to use that, as we have to in some cases, as a stumbling block and say that's out of scope, we can't have that discussion, or we can't have that conclusion. We may well need to revise the charter and go back to JNSO for a ratification of that. And I don't think we should be afraid of that. This is an area where we're certainly, what we're saying has changed a lot from what it was just a month ago. So I would suggest that let's try to do our best, but let's not agonize over getting it perfect. If it has to change as we understand the situation better as we go along, so be it.
Good. I've had my hand up for a long time. I'm gonna and I'll let Greg go after me.
You should let yourself speak if your hand is up then.
I've let everybody else speak. I would be concerned. There are two things that I would like out of the mission and scope section. One is enough flexibility so that we don't keep going back to redraw charters and reconstitute work groups. I'd like to have enough wriggle room so that we can actually do what all of us think we're going to do anyway, and that's if we are redrafting team form part of the working group, and that's a different process. But also, I would be wary of watering down too much the concept of multi-stakeholder, because if you start with an assumption that let's actually think, who do we have to talk to, because who's impacted, and if that question's there most of the time, and that becomes the guiding principle rather than an actual definition of policy or implementation, because that's almost too hard to do, you probably are in a better space. You're probably saying, well, actually, it's who do we talk to, who do we have to talk to, rather than have we defined something so that we don't have to talk or we don't have to follow a process. It's just me suggesting perhaps a different way of looking at things, so that we've got some concepts rather than being bound by definitions that are going to be very hard to draw anyway. And now I'll put my hand out, and Greg, you're next. Thanks.
Thanks. First, I agree, wholeheartedly that I would hope that the charter is not a stumbling block to discussions by the working group that comes after us. I have the frustrating experience in a recent working group that something I brought up relatively early on was, I was told was out of scope, and that if we wanted to discuss it, we'd have to go back and get the charter, modified and ratified again by the GNSO Council, and we ended up not going there. But I don't think that was particularly helpful to the discussions of that point, obviously. So I'd like to avoid that and make sure that we define the playing field properly so that people don't find themselves trying to be in bounds and told that they're out of bounds. Secondly, I think that, with regard to the key assumptions and thinking these through, I think the first three key assumptions are fairly non-controversial. I think the fourth one has a level of controversiality attached to it, perhaps. In that question of when does something have to be multi-stakeholder and when does it not need to be multi-stakeholder and when is the line defined there, I think that's maybe more of an objective or a task for the group to discuss, as opposed to a key assumption that either everything needs to be multi-stakeholder or that we start chiseling away at the list of things that need to be multi-stakeholder to the point where some people feel that we're stating an assumption that, in the negative, in the sense that other things, shouldn't be or aren't. ever going to be multi-stakeholder, and where do you draw the line? And I think that in terms of a charter point, if we're finding disagreement on the point, then it's something that the working group should be tasked to discuss rather than have us try to either define it too sharply or in a way that means nothing. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Are there any hands up? Not that I see. I would suggest then...
I see a hand from Greg, or at least was.
No, it's gone. It's gone. No more hands. Are we
I'm not talking about myself.
Mikey, you said the tyranny of scope, which is a bad thing. Do you want to talk about that? No, he doesn't.
I was mostly just agreeing with Greg. I think that one of the things, and this is part of the reason I'm so relaxed about this charter, is that the big things that charters do is describe sort of the major results that are being looked for, and as always, there's the expectation that there's a fair amount of judgment and discretion on the part of the members of the working group as to how they get there. And so overly precise uses of scope as a way to silence people, I think, is a bad thing.
Right. I'm going to rephrase or just ask the question again, since I really do want to move on from mission and scope to task, and we've got 3/4 of an hour to do it. The key assumptions, can we move on from them? Or, Greg, what I'm hearing is some disquiet on the fourth dot point, which is an assumption that has to be taken into account. It's not necessarily an outcome. Given, Jordan, that you developed this with Chuck, do you want to just talk to this fourth point and see where that takes us? Because it looks as if it might be everything done every time is multi-stakeholder. I don't think you mean that. I think my reading would be the assumption would be multi-stakeholder unless it's simply technical implementation, although that's a very dangerous thing to say. So, Jordan, look, they're your words, and Greg has put a question mark around them. Do you want to talk to number four of the dot points and key assumptions?
As Marika just pointed out, only the first two assumptions came from Chuck and Jordan.
Okay.
So, I'd be curious to know it sounds like Christina was happy if we added the word appropriately in there. Greg, does that satisfy your concerns as well?
I guess, have we decided where the word appropriately is going? Is it appropriate processes or appropriately multi-stakeholder or which? Or
it's appropriately.
Not sure.
All processes, policies, implementation, and the framework for interaction between the two need to be appropriately multi-stakeholder.
And I don't think that really meets my concern, because I don't think that appropriately multi-stakeholder really changes things much. I mean, I think that nobody here is going to fight for, maybe I shouldn't say that, inappropriate multi-stakeholderism, or at least they're not going to think that it's inappropriate when they make their point. So it's kind of it can mean whatever I think it means type of word in this context. And I think that, clearly part of what has brought us all here on this drafting team is the feeling of some that things that were called implementation and were taken care of in a way that didn't seem to be multi-stakeholder or maybe didn't seem to be appropriately multi-stakeholder took place. And that one way to deal with that is to say that everything needs to be multi-stakeholder, and well, in that case, it really doesn't matter what you call policy or implementation, because then a lot of implementation is handled almost as if it were policy under the current construct of policy versus implementation. And my concern, you know, becomes that if you try to kind of over multi-stakeholderize things, perhaps you have, you know, issues that Anne brought up in the chat, which is, does anything ever get done? And can multi-stakeholders move fast enough so that implementation can be implemented? And again, kind of comes, it's maybe just a different way of defining the outcome of whether something happens or doesn't happen, or, you know, who gets to weigh in on it. And I think that's an element for discussion and not an element for assumption. And I think that I just would not want to see the group closed off and have somebody kind of yell scope whenever somebody discussed whether something shouldn't be subject to kind of multi-stakeholder review, consensus, or, you know, some form of multi-stakeholder input.
Could I ask you what you think about Mike's suggestion, which is, should have the appropriate level of multi-stakeholder input? Now, we're not going to define this. The working group's going to deal with that. But does that come closer to what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I think in a sense that leaves perhaps, I think, more room. I might want to put at the end of that, if any, but maybe that's implicit,
that's
that nice. The appropriate level of multi-stakeholder input could be zero for something that is, you know, a complete no-brainer for all concerned.
Can we settle on that language that Mikey used, if you'd be comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think I can be comfortable with that.
Okay.
Just hope that nobody yells scope when somebody discusses whether something shouldn't be multi-stakeholder at all.
All right. Alan, you're next.
Thank you. Could I ask whoever's on staff who's putting down hands, don't do that? It's very frustrating. I would not want to use the word input. That has shades of the old ICANN comments where you can input all you want and no one ever does anything about it. I liked actually Christina's thing of appropriately multi-stakeholder. The demarcation between what we're now calling policy and the policy aspects of implementation is certainly in a PDP, we have a very formal process to get buy-in and consensus to reach conclusions. The multi-stakeholder part of what we are currently calling implementation, currently anyway, does not have nearly as formal a process. And that's probably a good thing, because when you start coming down to details, there are times you're not going to be able to please everybody, and ultimately decisions will have to be made. But there should still be the give and take and an opportunity to try to find balance and address the needs. So I would not want to restrict it just to input. But overall, I think we're going into this in far more detail than we need to,
okay,
and we're agonizing over it. I think if we're willing to accept the fact that we may have gotten the charter words wrong, and either we will get the charter revised or we'll be flexible in interpreting it, I don't think we need to agonize over it at this level nearly as much. I think this is a learning exercise, and chances are all of us will come out with somewhat different understandings of these issues than we have today. And I think we should allow for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, I think we've got Christina's appropriately multi-stakeholder. May I suggest that we actually tentatively sign off? Now, we've got the appropriately multi-stakeholder for the moment, and we have got next week if people are really upset about it. But
Holly,
think
Cheryl,
about how we do that. Cheryl?
Thanks, and I apologize for jumping in. Let me explain, and for the record, that every single time I either try and use my hand or type a single word into the chat, and I've done this a lot this time, I lose connectivity, so I'm I've typed is appearing on chat. So I do apologise. I've been agreeing with and making some comments throughout the whole meeting. However, I can't let this one go by. I wondered, Holly, because I think we're a good way through this part of the document's draft. If we took the specific language for this last point to the list and just came back with having had some good list remuneration, you know what I mean, chewing it over.
Rumination.
Thank you. That would be better than leaving it next week. I don't want to go backwards on the progress. That's
neither
all.
Do
thank
I.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I think, Marika, what I would like for a tentative way forward on mission and scope, we take up Christina's wording, I think, and we, from Jordan, we had on number 3 a framework for the implementation related discussions related to GNSO policy recommendations, and make that into 2 points, so 3 becomes the first part and 4 becomes criteria when something should be considered policy and when it should be considered implementation. Jordan, are you happy if those 2 things are separate?
Yeah, I'm happy if those 2 things are separate. If everyone else is happy with that, I'm fine just separating them. Otherwise, I'm totally fine just deferring the discussion of that particular point to the list as well.
Okay.
As Cheryl just suggested, either of those 2 approaches is fine with me.
Okay, fine. I think we can make 3, so it becomes 3. 4 would be criteria for something, and then 5 is further guidance. Now, I don't think we're going to get too much farther on mission and scope, so I'd like to kind of tentatively sign off and say...
Holly, this is Marika. If I can just ask for a clarification on the first part, the change to the bullet 4. Are we going to... I saw there was support, and I think you picked up on the call as well, the language that was suggested by Mikey that basically said... should have the appropriate level of multi-stakeholder participation, if any. Is that the language we're going to put out for discussion and review?
I've got some concern with if any, but I think Greg was comfortable if we didn't have that there, because when we're talking about level, there can be anything from 100% to 0.
Okay, I'll take that off. But the rest of the language, that's the one that should go in there, just to clarify.
Look, I think we take Cheryl's point too, which is we've got a list going and we really need to actually sign off on something as much as we can. So I'd be happy if we just say, yeah, go, Marika, go ahead with that. And then with the set of recommendations, we've now got 5 points instead of 4. Because we're splitting 3 into 2 elements, which makes Jordan a bit happier.
Yes, I got those changes.
Okay. Now, I would like to move on to objectives and goals. We've got about a half an hour going left. I'll just read them out and we'll see where we go from there. We've got the goals and... from there, we've got the tasks, and I think the task is going to be a really big one. So let's see if we can make some headway on the objectives and goals. I'll just read them out and then look for comment, and am looking forward to commenting on the list so we can actually sign off on this in before Durban. To develop at a minimum an additional recommendations report and a final recommendations report addressing the charter questions provided below. Wait a minute, provided below. I thought we were supposed to deal with the questions we've asked above.
This is Marika. That was my assumption as well, and that's what I had initially put, but Chuck, for some reason, changed those.
I have a little bit of problem with that because we've just spent a lot of time on key assumptions and what they're supposed to do. So and that looks as if they're only looking at what's below. I'll leave it, but I'm just that worries me a bit, frankly.
This is Marika. Maybe we can just change it back to the original language, and then Chuck can come back in if he had a specific reason to change that, or maybe it was just a...
Yeah, I just would like to know why that was put in, because I thought the mission and scope is what we were going to do. Unless we think that the recommendations include all of the mission and scope, in which case I'm not sure why we're doing two things. Never mind. Okay. Following the process described in the GNSO Working Group Guidelines, recommendations may include proposed changes to the GNSO operating procedures, etc. The recommendations are expected to provide a clearer understanding of both the potential goals and end states of the PDP, in particular for situations in which the output of the policy development effort is not a consensus policy. It may be desirable to have a more streamlined process than the current PDP. Alternatively, it may be that the PDP is initiated in a different manner or its work is concluded differently if the output is not intended to be a consensus policy. Improve the collection and documentation of GTLD-related policies and best practices created by the GNSO. 3, provide a better understanding of the transition between policy and implement stages with expected outcomes from each. 4, provide a framework for implementation that is predictable, repeatable, efficient, and timely that includes multi-stakeholder feedback. Ellen's going to say something there. And 5, include guidance on how feedback from the policy apparatus is needed in the implementation process. 6, include mechanisms to adjust policy in response to learning from implementation. Does anybody have an initial comment on any of those? If so, that's terrific. And if not, I put my hand up so I can... Nobody has any comment. And not even in the chat. Oh, Jordan's comment, I think they are great. Because I wrote them. okay. Shall I wait for people typing, Mikey and Christina? Okay. Mikey, your hand is up, and by the way, you're going to go in front of me.
Thanks. This is Mikey. You know, this is good enough for me.
Okay.
I mean, these have been in front of us for quite a while, and, you know, I think we've got a pretty clear understanding of where we're headed. I just get us there. Again, there's always this point in a chartering project where I feel like it's close enough. So we could, indeed, wordsmith the heck out of these, but I don't think it's a very productive thing to do.
Okay.
That was me agreeing, Cheryl.
Greg, you're next. And Mikey, before that, though, Christina's question is, how do your thought questions fit into this?
Thanks, Christina. This is Mikey. If you roll down to the next page, there's a task 4. It says prepare work group responses to key questions. And there's a list of questions. We could staple those thought questions in there with an appropriate disclaimer at the front that says something like, the working group may find the following questions helpful as a starting point for structuring their work, something like that. I think the worry that I have about, you know, questions going into the charter without some sort of disclaimer is that it's sort of like Greg's scope point earlier. You know, I'd hate to hamstring the working group with a series of questions that turn out not to be quite right. But I think somewhere down in that task four region would be a good spot to stick in.
Okay. Marika, could you put Mikey's questions into what he's suggesting? So on number four, prepare working group responses to key questions, and we can put them there. Now, Greg, you've got your hand up. You want to go ahead? Thanks.
Yes. Without wordsmithing too much, I think, especially given our previous discussion, it would be appropriate on the fourth recommendation to include before the word multi-stakeholder the word appropriate.
Okay. Marika, do you have that?
This is Marika. No, sorry, I was typing in the chat, so if Greg maybe can post a suggestion in the chat or just repeat
that's
it now.
Good.
We'll be happy.
Sure, I'll do both. Under objectives and goals, the fourth recommendation, I think we should put appropriate before multi-stakeholder.
Okay, got that.
I think I'm raising my hand. My comment would be, I tend to think number one is pretty wordy, and I'm not sure that we need to go into that level for a PDP at this stage, or indeed that I think we want to leave a bit more flexibility. But look, what I'll do is I'll probably draft something on the list and see how it works. It's so number one under recommendations is so detailed. It may act to actually confine the discussion, which is I don't think what we want to do. I think we're looking forward to not only a PDP process, but perhaps other processes. So I think we're a bit too detailed in one, and I just tend to make that a shorter sentence. And I would take note of what Marika has said in the chat, which is talk about how do we get some feedback, and that's... I think I would add that to number six of the recommendations. Now, Greg, your hand is up. Do you want to... Have you got more to say? Or is that an...
I was just going to say on this, but I think the parenthetical, if we're looking at the first recommendation here, is actually quite a bit broader than the first... than the sentence itself, which, you know, talks about the goals and end states of the PDP, whereas the parenthetical kind of goes off, you know, into new territory of...
Yeah.
We'll call it alternatives to the PDP, you know, and whether it's PDP light or expedited PDP or something that's not PDP when what's happening isn't necessarily quote-unquote policy development or at least consensus policy development. And I'm not objecting to the parenthetical, but rather suggesting that maybe that should come kind of out of the parenthetical and be, and, you know, I'm not proposing any exact drafting, I apologize for that. But that is kind of the task, is not just to look at the PDP, but at other avenues toward achieving something in the policy realm.
Okay.
Thank you.
I tend to agree with you. Jordan, you've got your hand up, and you've got some contributions in the chat as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree. The parenthetical is indeed long and is intended to provide context around what the first half is intended to be, and as Greg points out, it's long precisely because it's hard to capture in a short little bit the scope of what's intended here, and certainly when I first wrote this, Chuck didn't quite understand what I was after, which is why I sent him the thing that became the parenthetical. What I might suggest is just to change number one, to capture what Greg was just saying, provide a clear understanding of both the potential goals end states and alternatives to the PDP, and then maybe just move the parenthetical into a footnote or something like that. It's just there to provide context so you understand what the recommendation, I mean, what this bullet means, because it can be hard to sort of say, what do you mean by goals and end states without that additional context?
Now, that's, Jordan, thank you. That's fine. And I think I would be much more comfortable. I don't have my hand up. Greg, did you want to add to that? Or is that an old hand or a new hand? Okay, it's an old hand. Now that we might off call on myself, Jordan, I like your suggestion, which is to broaden out number one, the sentence itself, so it encompasses the idea that we're talking about, as the term Greg used, PDP light or PDP whatever, and somehow capture what's in the parentheses, but have one be more broadly drawn than it is at the present. And I think we're not going to draft here, but let's see, provide a clear understanding of maybe the potential goals and end states of policy development, including the PDP process and other policy development, or something like that. As Jordan says, though, we can... Oops. Mikey says no. Let's just see. Proposed text provide a clear understanding of the potential goals, end states, and alternatives to the PDP. That looks as if you're excluding the PDP, and I don't think we mean to exclude the PDP. I think we mean to include the PDP and everything else. That can go on the list. I think what I'm hearing is that number one probably needs a fair bit of redrafting. The intention's clear, but picking up what Jordan's saying, and is also the phrase alternatives to the PDP, which is another thing that should go in one, I think. I think we all need to think about all of...
Holly, it's Alan. Could I get in, please?
Oh, sorry, I didn't see your hand. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think the phrase alternative to the PDP is fine when we're considering how to, you know, what the outcomes might be. I would strongly object to this group trying to develop alternatives to the PDP. I mean, the bylaws right now are vague, and I think deliberately so, that they're, you know, if we're not trying to develop capital C consensus policy, we can use other methodologies. Yes, we seem to have some problems with how the board treats those, and that has to be fixed, but I certainly wouldn't want this group to start coming up with alternative methodologies. I think anything that we come up with in terms of how to treat policy outcomes from the GNSO should refer to policy outcomes from a PDP or from alternative methods the GNSO may choose to use. But certainly we should not be in the business of defining what those alternatives are. We have a complicated enough job as it is.
Cheryl?
The here from Cheryl.
Thank you. Okay. Jordan, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jordan. I'm not 100% sure I agree with that, but I'm glad to defer to the will of the group. People have been working in the weeds of the policy development process a little bit more. I do think that it is imperative that we need to, if there is some alternative process to the PDP, whatever it is, we need to be much better at documenting at a minimum, and probably moving beyond documenting to sort of figuring out how we actualize the results of non-consensus policy. Because right now, you pass something that's not a consensus policy, it is utterly undiscoverable for anyone that wasn't involved in that work. So there are a lot of things that, that people might think have been passed as policy. I think there would be debate over any of them as to whether they actually constituted policy or not, because there is no process around them. And certainly it's the case that if I was someone like Fadi, looking years after the fact, I would have no clue whatsoever that such a thing existed until I did something and then the community yelled at me for ignoring it, because they're not documented anywhere. The consensus policies are sort of marginally documented years after the fact when they finally get implemented. But that's the only bit of coherent documentation that exists today. Now, I know that's elsewhere in the list, but I do think there has to be some notion of how do we decide that we're actually done passing something that's not a consensus policy.
Thank you. I trust you're going to add some of that language on the list, I hope.
And Cheryl, can you actually see the chat?
Oh, I can see the chat. I can see up to Mikey O'Connor is typing. Whether that's
okay.
The last of the chat, I don't know.
Okay, no, fine. I'm just wondering if you're missing stuff. Okay. Greg, your hand is up again. And after
yes.
That, Alan again.
I think that at least at a high level, maybe not at a granular level, this group needs to look at the issues of if something is kind of contributing to the policy process or to some process that the GNSO or the GNSO Council is trying to move forward with and is trying to, you know, give a certain weight to, that the process needs to be defined. Right now, I think there is a lack of definition around these things, and it's seems to be causing difficulties as to whether a letter is a formal statement of GNSO policy, if it's just a letter that was written out of a meeting or two of the GNSO Council, for instance. And, I don't think the group should shy away from these things. It may be that among the group's recommendations are, I hate to say it, forming other working groups or subgroups of the... It could conceivably be a subgroup of the working group. That happened in one working group I worked on. To go forward on these things, but I think at least needs to be part of the remit to consider the need for other structures or defined processes that are or are not going to be resulting in something that's either small p policy or some form of policy input, because otherwise I think you get into some very loose activity. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Marika and then Ellen.
Thanks, Holly. This is Marika. So, yeah, I think exactly as some people pointed out, we already have in the mission and scope talking about recommendations on a process for providing GNSO policy guidance. And I think exactly that is envisioned there. For anything that is not consensus policy, that there should be the option for the GNSO Council to use an alternative process that indeed, as I think Jordan said, is well-defined, everyone knows what to expect, and possibly has as well a kind of mechanism where if it is official policy guidance, that the board needs to consider it in a certain way or come back to the GNSO Council depending on if they would, for example, disagree with that. So I think as I sent some information early to the list, the GNSO PDP manual clearly foresees alternative mechanism for when it does not concern or the outcome at the outset of the issue is not intended to result in consensus policy, that the GNSO Council should consider alternative mechanisms for addressing the issues, as a PDP may not always be the appropriate mechanism for addressing policy-related questions that are not intended to result in consensus policy. So I think I'm also of the perspective that it's definitely within the remit of this working group to look at that and provide recommendations, although, of course, it's also within his remit to say, well, we think there should be an alternative process, but we don't think it should be us, but someone else should be looking at this, or this is only a process that we believe should apply to implementation-related guidance, but we strongly suggest you also look at other processes that relate to policy discussions. So I think there are ways, different outcomes that could result depending on the working group discussions, but I definitely don't think it's, at least from what we've discussed and also the discussions that have been had at the GNSO Council level, that those questions or suggestions would be off limits.
All right, thank you. We've got now Greg and then Alan.
Hold hand.
Greg, go ahead.
No, Greg said it was old hand.
Oh, okay. You're a new hand.
I'm a new hand. Well, that's how you count.
No comment.
We won't comment. I think it's perfectly within the scope and a reasonable expectation for this group to set some criteria for things that we consider policy processes. That is, setting a certain level of transparency and ability to review, to understand, and to demonstrate that it was a multi-stakeholder process as opposed to three people getting together in a room and deciding something. I'm afraid that it's not just non-PDPs that are not subject to that right now. I recently had occasion to try to look into some old PDPs and look at the process or find out what actually happened as a result of them. And I dare say it's not easy, and in some cases it's impossible. You know, you find marvelous pointers to the social text wiki that hasn't existed for several years without a clue where it might be if it still exists. And in some cases, certain policy processes our web resources don't even admit they existed. So we have a problem, and I think we need to make sure that if we have future policy processes, that they meet some minimum standards. But I don't think we want to tie ourselves into trying to build those ourselves. And as an example, if you consider a policy, which under my own definition today, I do. The drafting team that formulated the Red Cross IOC recommendations to the board, was not a PDP, but certainly I think we could defend the process it went through, and the fact that it was involving the community. So, there are other processes, and I think we need to have flexibility going forward, but setting minimum criteria certainly is a reasonable thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Eduardo, I've completely missed your hand. How long have I ignored you? Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't see a hand up.
No, you're right. It was just... Okay, he's mute. Is there anybody who's got any more comments at this stage? Because I think we might have come to... We might have... spare 5 minutes. Where we're up to, folks, is we've sort of agreed on the mission and scope pending the next version and pending the changes that we talked about. We need to finalize that on the list if at all possible, because I hope we don't have to go back and spend a lot of time on that. We are on the objectives and goals. We've had a recommendation on rewording of number one in particular, but we actually have to go through 1 to 6 and finalize that next time. Now Mikey had his hand up and he withdrew it very quickly. Okay. The tasks I hope we can get to, but it's not going to be... Hopefully it will be next week. So with about 5 minutes left, could I ask that people go through and mission... Marika, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, this is Marika. What I can do basically tomorrow morning, my time, is send out a revised version based on what we discussed at today's meeting. And then again, I think encourage everyone to share any suggestions, and would really be helpful, concrete changes that makes it easier to develop new drafts, and I think as well move the discussion forward, so that hopefully by the next call we are a far way along to actually getting to a final version that everyone can live with.
Excellent. Yeah, no, that'd be great. Thank you. And then the objectives and goals, we've had some suggestions on, particularly on redoing number one, taking into account some of the comments that Ellen's made about clarification of process as well. And hopefully, if people could start to look at the working group tasks as well and remembering that the key questions that Mikey suggested are going to wind up in number four of the working group tasks. So we've got a very busy meeting, next meeting, and Marika, that will be, if you could send out the notice to everybody for next Monday your time, that would be great. Is there anything else anybody wants to say, or can we give ourselves a five-minute early mark?
Holly Cheryl, he's just looking at the chat and providing I'm a passive recipient of the DOE Connect and don't touch anything. I seem to be in sync. Rhea, second meeting possibility next week. I see the merit of perhaps scheduling that in our diaries, but I would request that perhaps it might need to be, just from a personal point of view, slightly earlier than today. If we do.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to me?
Well, I'm doing it to myself as well, Holly. Because I probably need. I'm meeting with Senator Conroy next Wednesday morning, and you know how long it'll take me to get to the city. So
yes.
If it's the same time, I may be able to only be here for a small amount of time. If it was slightly earlier, that might be. And yes, 2 hours on Monday is not a bad alternative from my. Because my Wednesday is going to be crap. Trying to get in for a early morning meeting with a minister for communications.
Do we want to do this then for say 2 hours? Are people comfortable with a 2 hour meeting, or would you rather have 2 1 hour meetings? Nobody is. Ellen?
Oh, yeah. I'm comfortable with 2 hours. Please, when you send out the announcement, make it really clear to people, because otherwise there's an expectation that it's only an hour, typically.
Yep. Well,
sorry, there seems to be some pressure for 2 1-hour meetings being more productive. Clearly these people don't have my calendar, but I'll go with the flow and apologize.
All right. 2 1-hour meetings. Oh, this is just about the worst possible time for me.
Yep.
So early is fine. 2 1-hour meetings is more productive. Marika, can we set a one... What about 1 hour on... the same time for...
The question to me was, you know, is a day other than Wednesday better? And the short answer to that is absolutely yes, with the exception of Thursday when I have a competing meeting on at this time. So basically, if you pick any other day other than
what about we just do a doodle?
Or Thursday. But yeah, a doodle's not bad.
Let's just do a doodle.
Why don't we do it the Monday call and see how we go.
May I suggest we do a doodle for... assume it's a doodle for Monday, and then a doodle for... I think everybody who's agreeing with a doodle.
Sorry, Holly, leave Monday as is. We've all got it in our diary.
Right.
And hopefully we've all got it in our diary for 90 minutes.
Yep.
And sure, doodle for possible second alternatives that week.
All right. I think we're just going to leave the time as it is. And... Jordan, and the goal should be to finish on Monday. I'm not sure that we're going to do that. We may actually have to have... But we've got one more meeting, folks. We've got the possibility of a meeting on the 8th. So why don't we leave it, since it's in everybody's diary, we'll leave it as 1.5 hours on Monday the 1st with the possibility of a following week. We'll just see how far we go. All I can say is the more work that's done on the list, the less time we need in a meeting. So we'll try and get as much done as we can on the list. But we will meet next Monday, same time, Tuesday morning for us in Australia. And if we need more time, then we can set out a doodle. I think that's the way to go.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with that? You comfortable with that?
Yep. Let's go.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you, everybody, for your time. And we will... Well, Marika, your hand is up.
Holly. Yeah, Holly, just to... Because I think getting a time in people's calendar later on will be hard, or at Monday. So one suggestion would be that I actually send a doodle poll out together with the updated document. So
yep.
at least we can tentatively book a slot, and then we can always cancel it, because I think the other way around may be hard.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely agree, Marika. Yep.
Okay, good idea. Thank you. Okay, and
thanks,
thank
everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Marika, just before you go, can you let Tech know that the Adobe rooms are becoming flakier and flakier if you're using a Linux or Ubuntu operating system?
I'll leave that with you.
I'm basically, you know, I may as well not, other than the fact I can see people chat. I've raised it with some of the tech people before. They should have had it also raised because of the issues that the Verizon people actually saw happening at our last face-to-face meeting. They were able to witness what was going on. So they should be aware of it, but someone needs to talk to Adobe on this. ICANN is a serious client of theirs now, and this is just appalling. Literally, every time you try and activate through the dashboard anything, it disconnects you, and it's just unbelievable. I'm getting real close.
I'll raise it with IT.
Thanks. I mean, I'm not expecting an overnight solution, but... You know, whoever's paying the bill to Adobe should be suggesting that there's this thing called, you know, customer service and quality of system. Thanks, mate. Because it's every time they update it. They've kept up their... Some operating systems they've kept up really well. They've left both Android behind significantly, but they've left Linux behind massively. And that's just not good enough. It's not just Flash, Mikey, because the Verizon people have been looking at it for me. Huh? It's a crock of shit.
I'll pass the message on. I'll pass the message on, Cheryl.
Thanks,
bye. Bye, everyone.
Mikey, they were watching me have problems when we were all together. I know they're the wrong folks, but they do have a slight amount of technical expertise. And they went, oh, that's not good. So it's not just me as an inept user is what I'm saying. Bye, dear.